بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Continue with the chapter which deals with the prohibition of males wearing silk or sitting upon something fabric that is made out of something which the fabric is made out of silk, or the fabric is of silk, or leaning against it. And as we mentioned, the prohibition is specific to the males of the ummah. For the females to wear silk clothing would be permissible. We mentioned a few ahadith, continuing with that. An Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha hariran faja'alahu fi yameenihi wa dhahaban faja'alahu fi shimalihi thumma qal, إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي رواه أبو داود بإسناد حسن. Just to reiterate, we find that in many of the ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us from wearing silk, etc., one of the grave warnings that are given is that if we will disregard this prohibition in this world, then Allah Ta'ala will deprive us of this great reward and ni'mat in Jannat. وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, the clothing of the people of Jannah will be silk. Likewise, if you look at wine, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وَعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فيها أنهار من ماء غير آس وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين وأنهار من عسل مصفى. The wine and liquor of this world is such that it has a terrible stench. Besides having a terrible stench, it totally confuses the mind of a person. When a person is under the effects of alcohol, he can't even distinguish between who his daughter is and who his wife is. Whereas Allah Ta'ala says, stay away from the haram liquor of this world. And in Jannat, there will be rivers and streams of wine. That liquor or wine of Jannat is such, it's mentioned in the riwayat, that one droplet of it, if a person has to put on his fingertip, the fragrance of it, the noor of it, the light of it, will light up the entire world. And there Allah says, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا تَهُورًا. Allah will give you, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ سَاقِي, the one who is giving you to drink will be Allah Himself. سَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا تَهُورًا, the pure and the beautiful sharab and drink of Jannah. Stay away from the haram. Women of this world, stay away from zina. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. Allah Ta'ala says, we will marry you to the beautiful damsels and maidens of Jannah. Stay away from the haram music of this world. مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا وَيَجْلِسُ عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ وَعِنْدَ رِجْلَيْهِ ثِنْتَانِ مِنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ تُغَنِّيَانِهِ بِصَوْتٍ مَا سَمِيَ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنِّ مِثْلَهَا. Many ahadith. One I just mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who will stay away from the haram music of this world, Allah Ta'ala will appoint two of the hurs of Jannah to sit at his head, two will sit at his feet, and they will sing for him. They will sing for him the music of Jannah. And what is the music of Jannah? مَا سَمِيَ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنِّ مِثْلَهَا. No human being or no jinn has ever heard such things. Stay away from wearing gold in this world. Allah Ta'ala will give you the gold of Jannah. The riwayat of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All these points that I mentioned clearly illustrated in this hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one who wears silk in this world will not wear it in the hereafter. One who drinks wine in this world will not drink it in the hereafter. One who drinks from gold and silver utensils in this world will not drink from them in the hereafter. Why? Wine, silk, gold, silver, etc. This is the clothing and drink or utensils of the people of Jannah. This riwayat is mentioned in Hakim. So we find that this overriding principle is there in all these ahadith. We are told, particularly for the males, Allah has kept this in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala has kept it in the Akhirat. Just to mention one point, prohibition of gold jewelry for males. In other words, females are allowed to wear gold jewelry. But when it comes to utensils, your cutlery, your bowls, etc., being made out of gold, this prohibition is not only for males, but it is for males and females. Basically, Islam advocates a life of simplicity. إِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَعُمْ فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ Rasulullah ﷺ said, beware of extravagance. Beware of extravagance. Because the true slaves of Allah are not extravagant. They are simple. Sunnah, identify with Rasulullah ﷺ, is simplicity. Not only that, Islam advocates purification. Be pure, be pure. Normally when we talk of purifying yourself, you think only of internal purification, where the inside must be pure. In other words, don't look at haram, don't plan haram, make Allah's zikr, purify yourself inside, stay away from looking or listening to haram, etc. Islam doesn't only advocate clean your inside, Islam advocates clean your outside also. Outside must be pure, your dressing must be right, your appearance must be right, and particularly stay away from extravagance. Coming back to the hadith which we mentioned, interestingly, the narrator of this hadith is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the son of Abu Talib, the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on in life, he was married to the most beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Interestingly, Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was not only the name of his wife, his mother also was Fatima. According to scholars, after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he is the second person, according to some scholars, he is the second person to have accepted Islam. Some say that he was the third, and that in fact the second was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He participated in all the major battles. 3 days after the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was appointed as the fourth Khalifa of Islam. On the 20th of Ramadan, 40th year of the Hijrah, whilst leading the Fajr Salah, he was stabbed by Ibn Muljim Mal'un in the head, as a result of which he became Shaheed. Interesting point, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala doesn't really need introduction. But either the second or the third person to have accepted Islam. So this indicates a very, very long period of association with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we would expect logically that many, many ahadith would have been narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Contrarily, he was very, very cautious in narrating hadith. Despite the length and the period of his companionship, so close he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find only plus minus 500 to be precise, 586 narrations or ahadith are narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We find many amongst the Sahaba were very, very cautious when it came to this issue of narrating ahadith that they had heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Find there's a very, very severe warning, and a lot of times in our Jamaat circles or Jamaat Satis, we find this accusation being made that they are quoting things which have no head or tail. Oh, like this expression has become common from the Lal Kitab, red book. In other words, fabricated ahadith. This is something we have to be very cautious, meticulous, careful about. This is why our elders in Tabligh advise us, stay within the 6 points. And as far as possible, try to quote from Fazail-e Amal, etc. Especially if you are not ulama. Find very severe warning. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan." Man kadhaba alayya muta'ammidan. He who intentionally attributes a lie to me. In other words, says that I said something and I didn't say it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who intentionally attributes a lie to me, falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar." Let him prepare his abode in Jahannam. Let him prepare his abode in Jahannam. Such a severe warning we find. We find many, many Sahaba were very, very cautious and careful about what they would quote as or attribute to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And amongst them was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was Bahrul Ulum. He was an ocean of knowledge. Yet only 586 ahadith are narrated by him. This hadith, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha hariran." He took some silk and he held it in his right hand. Then he took a piece of gold and he put this in his left hand. And then he said, "Thumma qal, inna hadain," these two things, in other words, gold and silver, "haramun ala dhukuri ummati," are haram, are totally prohibited for the males of my ummah. Wa Nabi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, "Hurrima libasul hariri wa dhahabi ala dhukuri ummati wa uhilla li inathihim." Rawahu al-Tirmidhi wa qala hadithun hasanun sahih. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allah has made haram, totally prohibited, silk clothing and gold for the males of my ummah. Allah has made this halal for the females of my ummah." As we mentioned previously, the wearing of silk or the utilizing of gold jewelry, etc., for men is haram, prohibited. The wujuhat, the reasons for it, already we've discussed a few of them. Basically, abstention from extravagance, etc. And the fact that silk and gold is an object of adornment, beautification. Men should not be overly preoccupied with appearing beautiful. This let the women, certain parameters are there. Her honor or her status also lies in her beauty.